Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Hey folks, here we are again. And who are we today? We includes Dr. Hanke Escher. Dr. Escher is at the... Right, Rotterdam. Yeah, okay. I have the misunderstanding that everybody in the Netherlands works in Amsterdam. No, you're in Rotterdam, where you are a professor of pediatrics, and where your particular interest is the shift of patients from a pediatric setting to an adult setting, transitional care, and how transitional care could work. But if you're looking for her online, you won't find her under Escher, H. Instead, it's J. Johanna Escher. And I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the Dutch language here, in that how you get from Johanna to Henkje.
Well, that's... Johanna is my official name, and Hanna will... be changed to Hankje very easily. So my parents called me Hankje after a few days because they thought Johanna was a little bit too
It's a very
posh.
Long and impressive name for a small baby, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm Hankje, and I know for many people, not only for you, it's difficult to pronounce. So
Hankje.
That's why in a congress like this and on my publications, I say I'm Johanna.
Johanna or Hanke, we're delighted to have you here. I would like to point out to those of you who are at home who are not able to actually view Dr. Escher that she grew up tall and impressive.
Thank you.
It's true. And her work is impressive. I'd like to hear a little bit more about organizing a transition team to support young persons as they move through the shift away from the people who've cared for them ever since they were just little to a new and more brisk and perhaps less simpatico set of caregivers.
Yes, well, the first and most important thing is to find a companion in adult care as a pediatric gastroenterologist. So you can start a team just by identifying somebody in adult care who is enthusiastic about treating young adults.
What particular challenges do young adults, as opposed to old adults, present?
Well, young adults, they grew up as children with a chronic disease, so they're very used to the pediatric healthcare system where... everything is focused around the child, the parents, the siblings, school. And the pediatric healthcare setting is much more, I think, relaxed. There's of course the serious chronic disease, and it can be IBD or any other disease is still there when the child turns 18 or the young adult turns 18. So this young adult has to face the new healthcare setting, which is different. The adult doctors and nurses are probably a little bit more focused on the disease itself and the individual who has the disease, and not so much focused on the parents, who are still the parents and who are still involved. I mean, if you have a sick child, you won't let go of this child when he or she turns 18. And so it's not only the young adults who have to get used to the different setting, but also the adult gastroenterologist who has to get used to having the parents there as well, who won't immediately leave when the patient reaches adult care.
Something that occurs to me, although I don't know if it's been tried, is in adult gastroenterology fellowship programs, what about sending an interested candidate over to the children's hospital for a 6-month stay to say, this is how we manage it. This is how your patients expect it to be managed when you go back to the big house.
I think that's an excellent idea. And we do it in Rotterdam. We do our young adult clinic, which starts at 16, together with the adult gastroenterologists. And many of the fellows from adult gastroenterology join this young adult clinic, and they learn along the way how we see our 16 and 17-year-olds. But you can even extend it to younger children. I think it would be good to have some pediatric gastroenterology in the training of adult gastroenterologists.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, it just seems like a natural thing to do.
Yep.
You're not alone in organizing transitional care. I mean, we're not alone. If I can number myself among the pediatric gastroenterologists and hepatologists interested in the theme, there are cardiac patients who now live into adulthood.
Sure.
Close to my heart, there are liver patients.
Yes, there are neurology patients.
There must be transition teams for all of these.
Yes.
Are the approaches different in some ways among these teams?
Well, I really like your question, because in our hospital, I am organizing young adult care for the whole hospital.
Ooh.
So not only for IBD, but I'm involving each and every department. So indeed, cardiology, neurology, metabolic disease, liver disease, hematology, whatever you can think of. And the nice thing is these issues are the same all over. So it's not, I mean, every disease has its own peculiarities, of course, but all the adolescents have to go through the same phase. They have to get used to transferring to adult care. They have to be prepared in the same way. They all deal with the same issues, that they have to learn to acquire all the skills that they need to survive. Well, it sounds a little bit negative, but to be a good patient in adult care, to be prepared to have this chronic disease for life.
One of the interesting features of the work that you've offered me to discuss, for those of you listening at home, there is going to be a bibliography associated with a brief cover note, and I'll give the details of the articles that Dr. Escher thought were particularly important in that cover note, is the idea that agency, the ability of the patient to make his or her own decisions, to function without some of the supports that have been so crucial to navigating the healthcare system as a child, is a very important determinant of whether or not a patient feels satisfied or at home in the new system. How do you train a patient in agency?
Well, there is a program that we use. It's a stepwise program. It is called Ready, Steady, Go and Hello. And for each and every phase during this process of transition, there are questionnaires that the patient and the parent can answer. And these questions are about life with the disease. Can you fill in your prescriptions? Can you talk about your disease by yourself? Can you do some shared decision making? What do you do when you take a vacation without your parents? How do you take your drugs? So this is a stepwise program that is very, very handy to use. And the last phase is called GO. The patients fill in their questionnaire around the age of 18. And then when they arrive in adult care, there's the HELLO questionnaire that the adult team takes from the patient. So this way you can monitor the progress the patient makes. So that's one way. It's not like a checklist. It's just like a questionnaire that they fill in and that is discussed by a transition coordinator.
But it sets up expectations. It lets people know, maybe I should be doing this.
Yes.
And I think that's very important.
Yes. So on the basis of this questionnaire, in the ideal situation, there is a transition coordinator who can be a nurse or a trained student who goes through this questionnaire together with the patient and also separately with the parent if that's necessary. And they make this individualized transition plan. They know what are the expectations and what is the goal for the next year. So this way, the skills are monitored and there's always progress.
Then we come to the question of, has it worked? Have your efforts to bring this set of patients along to a point where they exhibit agency, where they're confident, where they say, I can manage this. Have they been successful? Yeah. That must come from the hello questionnaire and also from some follow-up in the months after the first visits to their new doctors.
Right. Well, it's actually quite difficult to define what is success of this transition program. I think the most important way to evaluate a transition program or to say whether it has been successful is when the patient is happy, when the patient feels that they are comfortable in adult care. Another way can be to ask the adult provider whether he or she is happy about the patient. So whether this patient is really adhering to the outpatient clinic visit or adhering to a medication regimen. So for this, we developed a score that has a little bit of both. So the adult provider scores the adherence and the way the patient is doing self-management and self-efficacy. And we ask also the patient whether he or she is happy, and we ask also the parents. So this is a composite score, which we called the transition success score. Actually, we're now in the process of doing a validation of this score internationally.
That sounds lovely. One of the first indices that I can think of patient satisfaction, patient adjustment, and settling in well would be when the calls to the pediatricians stop, when they no longer say, my adult doctor wants me to do this. What do you think?
Well, if you take your time in the years prior to the actual transfer, and transfer is just a moment in time during this whole process, and the actual transitional process can start already at the age of 12 when you start talking with your patient and not so much to the parents, and preparing this patient for the transfer at 18 and telling the patient that the pediatric team will not be there anymore at 18, and many of the patients don't even realize that even when they're 16. So it's all in the preparation. And I think if you do that well, the patient, when he's 18 or 19, will not turn to the pediatric gastroenterologist anymore, or will maybe remember it in a good way, but he or she will know that it's the adult nurse or the adult doctor is the one
that to whom to turn. Yeah.
To turn to, yeah.
Well, I've just picked up on something which I'm going to mention en passant, and that is that you use the word transfer. A transfer is not just a moment in time. A transfer is a process as well.
No, the transition is the process, and the transfer is the moment.
Wait, you're not giving me a chance to articulate my problems with this here.
Tell me.
Well, my problem is with the word transition. Transition is in the middle of a shift of connotation. Let's just put it that way. Not denotation, but connotation. What is it associated with? And at the moment, in adolescence, it's associated with a great deal of dust in the air about, am I a boy or am I a girl? Am I somewhere in between? And that's why I'd like to propose that the transfer is, yes, the moment, but the transfer is also the process to get away from transition as a word.
Mm.
You're skeptical. I can tell that from your face. But
I disagree a little bit,
okay. But
I do agree with you saying that transition is not a word that adolescents or young adults like to use. They don't recognize themselves when you say, oh, you're now at the transition clinic. They don't like that. Because it has the feeling, okay, I'm in some kind of gender situation, and that's not at all what we're talking about. One option would be to call it transfer, but I don't like that because transfer implicates that it's just a focus on this moment of transfer from pediatric to adult. But my suggestion would be to call it young adult care. And I think
I withdraw the suggestion of transfer. Young adult care makes so much better sense.
And you know, the nice thing about calling this young adult care and the clinics young adult clinics, it's nice for the adolescents because they want to be young adults, but also it's appealing for the adult teams because when they hear about young adult care, young adult team, they all say, oh, I want to be part of that. I want to be involved in that. Young adult care, that's my cup of tea, not for the pediatricians. And that's exactly what we want. We want to team up with the adults.
So you've got these, you've got the ball, and you're ready to pitch. And by just calling it a young adult ball, you found a catcher.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of things that we need to find, you found a song for us. What have you chosen?
I chose Zeg Maar Niets Meer, which is a sad song, and the title translates into Please, It's Enough. We've talked enough. It's time to be quiet now.
If you would like to listen to the song, check out our Spotify playlist, Espigan's Favorite Songs.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you